This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Happy holidays, everybody. Kate Delaney. This is a very special show as I take you back through some of the interesting things and people that we talked to this past year, 2022, which is rapidly coming to an end. Hard to believe this time next week, it'll be 2023. Hope you're enjoying your holidays. Hope you're not listening to me stuck somewhere. I know that some of my friends have gotten stuck because of the Southwest Airlines debacle. And in fact, we're going to start there talking about that. Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, wants some accountability here because this has been a complete meltdown of Southwest. If you've read my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I talk about what happened to me the last time there was a huge meltdown when it came to IT and Southwest and how awful it was. Here we go again, but now it's five times as worse as what I went through. I just had to drive from Dallas to Phoenix because my flight kept getting canceled because of the computer malfunctions. Now you have the Southwest CEO, Bob Jordan, apologizing because thousands of flights have been canceled this week. There's no indication of when passengers can rebook. A lot of the passengers have said that as soon as they can get out of wherever they are, if they were going to rebook on Southwest, would be the 30th or the 31st. I mean, seriously, their system just completely melted down, the kind of system that they use. So passengers have had so many problems. I mean, you know, you're talking about 2,600 cancellations made already for Wednesday, all of them with Southwest. There have been close to 7,000 altogether. Other airlines have had problems because of the weather, but it's not the weather. It's the problems. Some of it could be part of the weather, but it's the problems, the stunning problems they're having with their antiquated system. Get it together, people. It's ridiculous. If their system is from the 90s, they can't afford to upgrade it. I mean, that's crazy insane. And so almost 65% of the flights gone. Imagine trying to rebook. Good luck with that. So people are stuck in Chicago at Midway International, at Boston, or at Baltimore, Washington International, Nashville Overload, Dallas Love Field. I mean, you know, just right before 8 o'clock today, there were 6,000 delays. 6,000 delays. That is insane. So needless to say, it's mega, mega drama. People are dealing with it at other airlines. My neighbors were on American. They couldn't get from Tampa to Phoenix. It was too much of a struggle with what they'd have to do. They had to travel like 12 hours. So on Christmas Eve, they had their flights canceled. But like I said, this is worse what's happening with Southwest. People are just left in the dark. I mean, you had the winter storm, so the timing for that was terrible. And then you had the debacle with the IT of Southwest. So even pilots were complaining about that. They had to book their own hotel rooms. They had problems with that, because they are in the system where they have to wait to be called to know where they're going, etc. So with the cancellations, with the problems with the pilots, and all of that mixed in between, you can only imagine what it is. Now, they're trying to help some people, and they're getting them on buses and rearranging that, but that's not working for a lot of people. So there's luggage trapped areas in areas where people aren't and they haven't arrived, and you can just imagine what that is like for so many people. So with this huge meltdown, they're talking about accountability, that you, somehow they're going to have to be compensated, all of that. By the way, the winter storm, the death toll now is more than 50. We're up to 50, sadly, and counting, because especially because of what happened in Buffalo. And I've talked about this before, the death toll climbed in Buffalo. You have military police enforcing and driving ban. They have to because they're trying to remove cars from areas. They can't get to people who need to be rescued. I guess they finished all the rescues before we went on tonight, as far as I know. But sadly, they found people that were frozen to death in their cars. So this is just an awful, awful, awful thing. The other big news on the day is the Supreme Court keeping the controversial border restriction in effect. I've talked about this. It's a nightmare. I think it needed to stay in effect, frankly. As somebody who's seen what's happened at the border, I've talked about this so many times in my travels with the Border Patrol as a television anchor reporter, and it's only been worse when I went into talk radio. It's the same thing of the people we've had on and the people we've talked to. We all know what the situation is. So the Supreme Court said that it's going to remain in effect while the legal challenges play out. So that ensures that federal officials will be able to continue to expel migrants at the borders for at least the next several months. It was a 5-4 decision or order. So it is a victory for the Republican-led states that were challenging this. And this, so that's what the Supreme Court said. Now, the Biden administration is saying it's prepared for the authority to end, and they had put in place precautions to guard against confusion at the border and any potential surge of migrants. But, you know, in El Paso, they were talking about as many as 18,000. I mean, 18,000 a day. How can you process that many people? You cannot process that many people. Nothing enrages me more than talking about what's been going on at the border for my entire career, the entire career, people, since I started. And El Paso was one of my first jobs in television news, and I saw it with my own eyes. It was terrible then, and it's even worse now. I mean, this is the center of the crisis there. Thousands have crossed into that area. I mean, the city opened government-run shelters at their convention center, hotels, and unused schools because they want to care for them, but so many still had to sleep on the streets in cold temperatures. I mean, the Department of Homeland Security has put in place a plan for the end of what they thought might happen with more resources, but it's still not enough. So look, the White House is saying they're not making any opinions. They're just saying, we're going to comply with the order. We leave it to the courts. We're going to comply with the order. That's it. So for now, people will get sent back. That's what's going to happen because of what the Supreme Court has said. That's what's happening. And they've even had to install fencing in El Paso, like 2 miles of border fencing, because it's just that awful. All right, coming up on this show, we're going to have a couple of great takeaways, including coming up next, Greg Stebbin. Does Putin Have to Die? The name of his book, The Story of How Russia Becomes a Democracy After Losing to Ukraine. And there's been so much action on that front. Putin the other day saying, oh, he's willing to work with anyone to get this situation solved, right? Although, fill in the blanks, that was a state-run announcement that he made, period. So he has now put Russian oil exports, he's banned oil exports to countries that impose price caps, and all kinds of other things are happening despite his claims of peace talks. Ukraine peace talks look really unlikely in the near future. So we had a great conversation with Greg, who went to Ukraine, who went to Poland. He came on our show several times during 2022. We're also going to have a conversation with Ken Watson. I love New Orleans. He talks about Mardi Gras, with love. That's the name of his book, and he has an interesting story to tell, certainly about being there as well. And then plus healthcare for people who still are looking for healthcare. Jeanette Contreras, a great combo with her after we speak with Greg Stebbin. So buckle up, and I will meet you on the other side.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Dennis. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com. Ukraine. The latest is Vladimir Putin threatening further harsh responses, and we know what some of them have been after massive, massive Russian strikes. Once again, really, really sad what we're seeing. It is my pleasure to welcome my friend to the show, Greg Stebbin. He's got a new book out, Does Putin Have to Die? The Story of How Russia Becomes a Democracy After Losing to Ukraine. Greg, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
So you spent so much time in and around Ukraine and brought amazing stories to us and still are bringing amazing stories to the United States and many, many other listeners. And now you've got this book, and of course with the title, you know, right away it jumps out at you, Does Putin Have to Die? And then, of course, the second part, the story of how Russia becomes a democracy, like I said, after losing to Ukraine. So explain the title. How does that happen?
Well, I think today's a perfect day to be talking about this. How can this end with Ukraine? First of all, I am completely unwilling to accept, as are the Ukrainian people and many other leaders and citizens of the world, that this can end with anything but Ukraine winning, and winning meaning the Russians leave, the Ukrainians get all their territory back, including Crimea. There's nothing aggressive about that as the goal. It's merely giving Ukraine back what is rightfully theirs. So I refuse to accept that this can end in any other way. And if you refuse to accept that it can end in any other way, how can this end with Vladimir Putin without you at least debating, can he be alive to allow the Ukrainian people to have that victory? And I think, you know, as we say in the book, and we should talk about my co-author a little bit too, I don't think the determination of whether Putin will live to see the end of this war or not is up to anybody other than Vladimir Putin. You know, I think if he left tomorrow, he could certainly arrange, he certainly has the money and the power to arrange to go somewhere in the world and be safe for the rest of his life. But if he stays, there are a lot of people that want him dead. And it's not just Ukrainians. There's a lot of people in Russia who want him dead, too. He's a dead man walking if he doesn't give it up and get out.
Wow, I so agree with that. I've said that, and you even have a bigger beat on it, especially in the conversations you've had with your co-author. Tell us about the co-author.
Yeah, his name is Ilya Ponomarev, and his name may not be familiar to you, but some of the things he's done will be. For instance, he was a member of the Russian parliament from 2007 to 2016. He was the only member of the Russian parliament to vote against the annexation of Crimea in 2014. So the only one who opposed Putin on that. And a few months later, he was in California on official Russian Duma or parliament business, and the Russian government forbid him from ever returning home. He has not been home to Russia since 2014. He now lives in Ukraine. But he said at the time that if this annexation happened, it would eventually lead to a full-scale invasion of Ukraine by Russia. We're seeing that now. And he also said at the time that if Russia invaded Ukraine, he was going to fight on the side of Ukraine, and that's what he's doing. But ultimately, the point of the book is this. He believes that it is possible for the right leader to return to Russia and turn it into a democracy, to give the Russian people a new constitution, new laws, free and fair elections, and for them to live with the kind of democracy and freedom that we do. And he's frankly been working on this for a long, long time, and it's pretty clear that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen sometime soon.
And do you think we're seeing signs of what the people know and what the people want with these protests and the refusing to be mobilized and be forced to serve in this effort of Putin's to take Ukraine?
Well, I've learned a lot since I went to Poland and went into Ukraine and since I spent the last, I don't know how many months, writing this book with Ilya. And one of the things that's very tricky for us in the West is you cannot judge the people of that part of the world, not just Russia, but I'm including the Poles and the Ukrainians. Their view of the world and the way they think is very different than ours. Their relationship to history is very different than our relationship to history. Their relationship to one another. So it's tricky to try to think about what the Russian people will do by comparing them to the American people. So one of the things that's really interesting about what's happening in Russia is there's very few protests about the war in Ukraine. We've recently seen protests, but those were not protesting the war. They were protesting the mobilization. And that does not send a good signal to the world that the Russian people will ever want democracy, because it looks like they don't have a clue about what democracy is. And to some degree, that's probably true. They've lived in a vacuum of information and media for a long, long time. So a lot of what's going to have to happen is education. But at the end of the day, who doesn't want to be free? You remember the Ukrainians 30 years ago were part of the Soviet Union. Their road to democracy has not been without its problems, but look at how strong they are willing to fight for democracy and freedom today. Same thing with the Poles and many others that were part of the USSR back then, but have discovered the value of having freedom in their lives and are now willing to fight for it. And I believe, and Ilya certainly believes, the Russian people will fight for it too. They just have to remember what it is that's worth fighting for.
Ooh, so good. The foreword of your book, tell us about that.
Well, it's a little shocking, frankly. If you were going to write a book called This Putin have to die, who would be the craziest person you could get to write the foreword for the book?
Putin.
Putin, that's right. And so I made it my goal to get Vladimir Putin to write the foreword for this book, Does Putin Have to Die? And I was successful. Now, to be honest, we didn't call him up and say, hey, Vlad, would you write the foreword for us? What I did was, or I should say we did, we went out and found a speech that he gave that is so shockingly pro-democracy. When I first read it, I thought to myself, I think this is a speech that Ronald Reagan gave, not Vladimir Putin. It's a speech he gave 2 weeks after 9/11. He delivered it in German to the German parliament. And if I read you parts of this, you will be shocked by how pro the West and pro-European, pro-democracy, pro-freedom, pro-human rights he is for the world and for the Russian people. And somehow over 20 years, he went from that to what he is today. I think that alone is a lesson for all of us. What happens when there's power and money and greed? This man is a perfect example of how corrupt one person can become.
Ooh. And for Ilya, you know, you talked about him being in Ukraine. Is he safe?
You know, it's funny. There's two questions he gets asked all the time. And you'll remember the last time I was on the show with you, I was talking about doing these daily shows on a, on an online network called Beams, B-E-A-M-Z. Yeah. So I do a show with Ilya every Thursday. And very early on when we started doing these shows, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, you know, one of the first two questions people wanted to know, because these shows are interactive, is, you know, are you safe? And why aren't you dead? Because he is on the Putin kill list. So let me take the first one first. Is he safe? You know, the first time someone asked that, he shrugged and he said, I'm in the middle of a war zone. I'm as safe as anyone else. So, sure, there was a ton of bombing in Kyiv today. He lives in Kyiv, so he certainly was at risk as anyone. But you might even say he's even more at risk because he's on the Putin kill list. And, you know, his kind of typical response to that is, I keep a machine gun by the door.
Wow. A machine gun by the door. Fascinating stuff, Greg Stebbin. Where can we get the book? Amazon and wherever great books are sold, right?
Is it the same place you can get Kate Delaney's book that I heard about just before you invited me on the show? So my recommendation is buy both and do it right now.
There you go. Greg Stebbin, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with the book.
You bet. It's great to be here.
So the book again, Does Putin Have to Die? The story of how Russia becomes a democracy after losing to Ukraine. Ooh.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering next prize.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA News Update. A member of Israel's war cabinet, former Israeli military chief Benny Gantz, has expressed concern that time is running out for a negotiated resolution to the conflict with Hamas. Gantz also mentioned the possibility of increased military actions against Hezbollah, which has been launching rockets into Israel from the southern border of Lebanon. Unemployment claims rose in the week leading up to Christmas, signaling a further cooling of the labor market. The U.S. Labor Department said initial filings for unemployment benefits rose by 12,000 to reach 218,000 in the week ending on December 23rd. Mortgage rates have dropped for the ninth consecutive week, coinciding with indications from the Federal Reserve about potential interest rate cuts in the coming year. According to recent data from Freddie Mac, the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage now stands at 6.61%. John Schaefer, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
About this for a second. Nearly 11 million members of the U.S. Latinx community still don't have health coverage. What? For the first time, almost 9 in 10 people who sign up for a health plan in the ACC marketplace qualify for financial help. So that's great news. To sort it all out for us, Jeanette Contreras joins us, Project Director, Health Equity Campaigns. Thank you so much for coming on. This is so, so important, Jeanette.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation. It's incredible. Despite the historic lows of uninsured rate the U.S. has seen, the Latino community is still lagging behind. So thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So now what's happened? What's changed? What's the state of healthcare coverage? I just blushed over it for the Latinx community.
Yeah, so you mentioned that nearly 30% of the overall remaining uninsured are Latinos. And Latinos actually have the second highest rate of uninsurance of all the other racial ethnic groups. You know, more than 6 million Latinos are eligible for coverage, but they're not enrolled. And this is for plans like the ACA Marketplace or Medicaid. So it's really important that we, you know, make sure folks know that they're eligible to sign up.
Yeah, and I want to remind everyone, the ACA Marketplace enrollment is open until January 15th, because I think a lot of times there's confusion about the date. So that's the great news, and that's why this conversation is so important.
How does the Inflation Reduction Act create more affordable ACA marketplace plan options this year for the people that we hope will jump on them?
Yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act actually expanded the financial assistance for working families. So, like, it expanded the income brackets to allow more, like, middle-class families to get that tax subsidy, which is actually how it's applied to lower the health insurance plan. So, you know, families that were just, you know, outside of that bracket to get that tax subsidy are now in that bracket. They can now get some help with paying for the health insurance. And so it's definitely helped to lower the cost of insurance for more people. And with that expanded premium insurance assistance, the Latinos now make up one-third of people who would qualify for a free plan.
Wow. How can somebody, because I know this is what's rattling around in some people's heads, how can somebody find out if they're eligible for financial help?
So healthcare.gov is the best place to go. They've got a ton of tools there where you can actually go online and shop for plans and prices before you even, initiate an enrollment application. And with the Latino community, we also, want to let folks know that, if you have an ITIN or a Social Security number, you're eligible to enroll. You're eligible to apply for financial assistance. And the Biden administration actually ended the Trump-era public charge rule that would have had the immigrant community considered a public charge. If they were to access health insurance through like Medicaid or an ACA plan. So that rule's been lifted. And so now our immigrant families can enroll in health plans without having to, without that fear of it's going to affect their immigration status.
Yeah. And one of the places you talk about, healthcare.gov, they can certainly go to that resource and they'll be able to compare plan options, right?
Yeah, that's right. You can even look at the plans available, what doctors are in that network within the plan, what your prescription drug coverage would be. It's a great shopping tool for folks. And you go in there and play. You don't even have to put your numbers, your name or phone number in there or anything. It's totally anonymous. So I like to say that because I think people think like, oh, I've got to give information before. Nope, you can totally shop and get all the information without having to commit to an application.
So at the end of this, again, for listeners, where can they go for more information?
They can, listeners that, want to get information about enrolling in a health plan, go to healthcare.gov. There's also a marketplace call center that's open 24/7. Phone number to call is 1-800-318-2596. But I want to leave folks with, I think, the most important place for them to look is that there are community-based organizations all over the country that are certified assisters. They're, like, certified to help people enroll in plans. And you can find one on by going to the Internet, to the website localhelp.healthcare.gov, and search by zip code, city, state. And when you go in there, it'll pull up a list of community organizations that are working in your community to help people get enrolled.
Jeanette Contreras, Project Director of Health Equity Campaigns, United US, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Grandma might have gotten run over by a reindeer, but how about the family dog that got shipped to Saudi Arabia accidentally? Ooh, that's a big boo-boo, especially at holiday time. It is true. A Tennessee family is demanding answers after an airline mistakenly sent their Nashville-bound dog halfway across the world to Saudi Arabia. The family was actually moving from London to Tennessee. They discovered the snafu when they arrived at the airport in Nashville and were given the wrong dog. They said she wasn't in Nashville. They said their best guess, too, was she was in Saudi Arabia. And this is a 5-year-old beloved family rescue pup, Bluebell. After about an hour, airport staff sent her a photo. The woman, Madison Miller, and her family sent her a photo of Bluebell locked in her crate, confirming she was in the Middle Eastern Kingdom. Oh, don't worry, she's in Saudi Arabia. So she said she was already anxious about putting her on hours-long flights in the first place because she heard so many horror stories. And that's pretty upsetting. So there is an ending to this. For 3 days, She waited and waited and waited for her dog to be returned, her and her family. When they finally got her back after three flights, 63 hours, they said she changed into a completely different dog. They thought they'd get that reunion, you know, where your dog is jumping in your arms, licking your face, all that kind of thing. She came out of the crate hoping that she would be wagging and licking her face. It was the opposite. She bolted. They had to grab her because she was so horrified. They knew something was wrong. So problems have continued. She sits alone, cries, chewed through a floor, all kinds of things. And British Airways forwarded a request for comment to the cargo company, who apologized for the error, saying they take responsibility for the loved ones and they should have ensured she was back on her flight. Well, you screwed with the dog's head. So now what? So I guess it's time for a doggy psychologist. Seriously, that is a crazy, insane story. And you would think they would be very cautious with that, right? Look, kids and pets, you don't jack with that, right? Don't do it. Just don't do any kind of funny business there. And they obviously just brushed it off and didn't give two you-know-whats. And so I hope that family goes after British Airways big time. Why not? Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a litigious person, but in this case, it's ridiculous. Document everything. Elon Musk, speaking of litigious, is going to step down as the Twitter CEO once he finds someone, he says, foolish enough to take the job. So he announced that he's going to step down when that happens. He did this poll. He polled Twitter users on Sunday about whether or not he should continue to lead the platform that he paid, oh yeah, $44 billion for in October. He said, I will resign. I got to find the person. He tweeted this out to 122 million followers that he has. He says he'll just run the software and the server teams. That's it. Because overwhelmingly, people wanted him to step down. 57% of users wanted him to step down. More than 17 million votes were cast. They were not kind to Musk. And, you know, they know the story about him going off on employees, firing them, demanding loyalty, and all the crazy nonsense that ensued when he took over. I mean, look, he laid off half of the workforce. He suspended journalist accounts. And he even skipped paying rent on one of Twitter's San Francisco headquarters. His leadership has led to the release of internal documents that are called the Twitter files. And it gives you an inside look at the company's actions before he took over, right? And so all kinds of craziness in that. It was inevitable that people are going to say, step down. Step down and put somebody else in that spot anyway, because why does he want to do that? To me, in a way, it's like owners who buy a football team, let's say an NFL team, and they want to do it all. They think because they play fantasy football that and they have lots and lots of money that they'll be good at making all these draft moves and they don't need the superior minds to help them that are more football strategically, let's say, endowed with that knowledge. And there have been some that have tried. Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, is great now. The first year he owned the team, he meddled too much. Daniel Snyder, who eventually will not be the Commanders owner, meddled too much in a lot of different ways. But on the football side, he meddled too much. A lot of people talk about Jerry Jones meddling too much with the Dallas Cowboys, and that's part of the problem there. So for Elon Musk, he has those flashes of brilliance, so why doesn't he just do what he does best and get out of the way? It just makes so much more sense. And I have to say this, as coming up, we've got Nail the Score. A tip of the cap, a big tip of the cap to Argentina. And, of course, they got a hero's welcome. Crowds, just massive crowds for the World Cup camps, Buenos Aires, just filled with people turning out for the victory parade after they beat France to win the World Cup. It was a brilliant, brilliant moment in sports. All right, coming up next, get ready to try and nail the score. I'm going to tell you how in just a few.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Talking with Kay Rydell Watson. He's an author who's written a book, To Mardi Gras with Love. And we had such a wonderful off-air conversation. And everybody knows I have a great love and affinity for New Orleans. But his story is fascinating. So thanks so much for coming on, Ken.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for you guys having me as well.
What was it that led you to write the book? What made you decide, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do the twists and turns of life and put it all out there? What was it that made you do that?
Well, actually, it was a challenge presented to me by my partner. Basically because I said, you know, that particular year we had such a great time in Mardi Gras. And he said, you know, well, if you had such a great time, then, you know, write me a little story on it. So that little story I sat down and started writing became 500-page-plus manuscript.
Wow.
And which I presented to him on our flight the Virgin Islands, because every year we do like an anniversary trip. And I went to Kinko's, had it put in a binder and all that, and gave it to him in flight. And it kind of cut our trip in half, because he spent a lot of time on the beach, you know, reading it. And the first thing he said is, you know, once he finished, he's like, hey, this could be a movie, it could be a play, it can, you know, there's something about it, and whatever we have to do, let's do it as a project. And that's how it came about being. And 25 years later, I'm talking to you.
And it's so interesting, like, because there's so many twists and turns in this. And like you said, your partner, who's a doctor and has his own stories, and then how you came together, and children and all of that. And then, again, this world-famous Mardi Gras celebration. Tell us a little bit. Give us one of the stories. We don't want to give everything away, but give us one of the stories in the book.
Oh, wow. There's so many. I was thinking about that, trying to decide what, if you ask me that, what story I'd say. I'm kind of thinking about when there was a situation that a jacket was came up missing somehow. And it was one of our friends that was hanging out with us. And it kind of took over the evening, finding, you know, what was going on with it. And turns out the good doctor, Howard, had it all along, kind of like wrapped on it. And it just, you know, from people speeding through the streets to, you name it, searching to get this jacket, you know, it's just kind of hilarious how it turned out, you know, with that character. And, you know, a lot of people love the character, because it's, you know, we see a lot of times, you know, on TV with all the different shows and, you know, all the different hospital shows, more the serious side of it, but to see the human side in a comedy person, which he really is too in real life, it's, like I said, made it kind of hard to pick what was some of my funniest things that happened at Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and
from
course.
You know, just the whole thought of how things have changed nowadays with Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. You know, it's a whole different city, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know? We've gone through a lot of things, and it's very different. And, you know, of course, cocktails are part of the deal. Bourbon Street and cocktails and all of that. And you talk about that. I mean, you got to find the right cocktail, and jambalaya for sure. And that's important. And it is about that, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. And, you know, and as we said, too, it's where we've met probably our best friends, too, you know, during that time, during Mardi Gras. And you're bumping into thousands of people, you know, and this is all pre, you know, the COVID days, pre-Katrina. It was just a different world then, you know, and I'm glad that the today's generation and the LGBTQ+ community has really brought it back to the forefront, you know, where people can see and kind of compare it, you know, and contrast the two times. But it's just been an incredible experience doing that, taking that challenge and going from, you know, one piece of paper to, like I said, the manuscript, then on to us actually publishing it ourselves. And we were the marketing company, distribution. We just us two handled it all.
Right, and the 500 pages, the challenge, like you said, and then to you to go back and do that and talk about the center stages in New Orleans and all the things that happened at the Mardi Gras celebrations, and going back and being able to look at that in the 90s, you know, being able to see what was that like. What do you hope people take away when they read to Mardi? And you're saying it, but to Mardi Gras with love. What do you hope they take away? You can get on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, by the way.
Yeah, I and the other surprising thing is Walmart's now, you know, joining us. And I just hope that, you know, people walk away with the, you know, loving the characters like any other kind of sitcom show or movie or book. You know, regardless of the, you know, the orientation of that person. You know, but that you walk away, you know, loving them, laughing, you know, feeling happy, feeling sad with them, and just kind of looking at certain things, you know, about life a little different. You know, just we're all people. You know, and that's what I love, you know, getting still 25 years later, getting emails and texts from friends and saying how it's helped, you know, this younger person, that younger person to see themselves in a different light. You know, that, yes, we can all have that and we all deserve to have that. And so just like turning into a movie, I would love people to walk out of the movie saying, hey, you know what? I need to just relook at the way I was looking at stuff.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And it's we've gone long way considering how many sitcoms there are nowadays and movies and stuff, but it's like we still have a long ways to go. And yep. That's what I would love to have and where we can have it like a rated PG or whatever, where everybody can see it, kind of like your Will and Grace show. You know, because the book is kind of racy. And I was kind of saying, I didn't even think, I was like, Kate's not old enough to read it. I always tell everybody, you're not old enough to read it.
That's no. Right.
No, when we got requested years ago to send Oprah Winfrey copies, I used a power stapler to staple some of the pages. I was like, no. You know, so, but, you know.
Great. I love this. There is such a whimsical feel to the book. And like you said, and it can be such a game changer. And you're the couple, of course, and we're talking about how you weave the tale. Spooky and Harpo, I love those names. They just cracked up. It's very, very,
yeah, and
very
by
funny.
The way, and yeah, in real life, those two characters just celebrated their 29th anniversary on July 29th.
Woohoo! Congratulations on that, and congratulations on really putting this out there. And it shows your books can come alive at any time. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
You can get to Mardi Gras with love. You can get that, like I said already, Amazon, Walmart, Barnes and Noble. Thanks so much for coming on, Ken.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Kay. This has been fun, and it's just like a dream come true.
We go from the warmth and that conversation with Ken of Mardi Gras and New Orleans to what I mentioned at the top of the show, more snow falling in Buffalo on Tuesday after this historic and brutal winter storm buried the area, left deaths just mounting as the blizzard became the deadliest storm in more than four decades. I mean, they're already overwhelmed with what they have. They've got widespread power outages, a driving ban that's being enforced by military police, and then they got more inches of snow to add insult to injury throughout western New York. And I know there's people listening there. I've spent a lot of time there. In fact, this year I spent some time up there. I know those streets in that area. The storm system started before Christmas. It pounded Buffalo with 49 inches of snow. So the snow, needless to say, really has buried the city. Conditions went from bad to even worse. Terrible, frigid temperatures, extreme winds, gusts that were more than 70 miles an hour. And it's one of the worst weather-related disasters in, again, that region's history. I said this before, people sadly were found in cars, homes, and snowbanks. And now there's another concern. By the end of the week, it is supposed to get warm. It's supposed to be warmer. So then the concern, because crews are working to clear the roads that are still blocked, create pathways for emergency vehicles, all that kind of great stuff, because they have to do that, right? But they could have a possible flood, because then this all melts. And then what happens with the massive amount of snow you have, that will flood down into the streets, because they're going to see the temperatures rise into the 40s, possibly even the 50s. So normally that would be great news that it's warming up and there's no snow in sight, but there is a potential risk for some minor flooding in the Buffalo area as it thaws. So keep your fingers crossed on that one for our peeps. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113.